Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Lord Jesus, thank you for John. We ask that you use him as a messenger. We ask that you speak through him. We thank you for what you've deposited within him and the passion that burns in him. So use him tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm not going to talk very long, but I just wanted to share a few things to kind of get us thinking about prophetic ministry, what it is, kind of get us pointed in that direction. Not that I have all the answers to what prophetic ministry is, but just to give us, we're just going to look at some of the prophetic ministry in the Bible. And one of the things that was just really on my heart recently was just words. Words, 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 words. They're all around us. We use them all the time. That's what God did to create the world. He spoke. There's so much power. I often am just amazed and overwhelmed at the privilege that we're given to participate with God by speaking words. Jesus lives in us. Now, so just imagine a little bit, if Jesus walked up to you and told you something, wouldn't that be cool? We have Jesus in us, and we can walk up to someone anointed by the Holy Spirit and tell them exactly what the Lord wants to tell them. And we can all do that. Isn't that neat? Isn't that awesome? And they'll be the recipient of life from God. I'm just going to read a couple passages. The first one I thought about was Matthew 10:19. It says, when you get drugged before kings and priests or councils, don't be anxious about what you're going to say. Do you know why? It says, God will give you that in that hour. He will tell you what to say. His Spirit will rise up in you and come out. That's prophetic. That's prophetic ministry. Words are like seeds. We can see ourselves as someone just constantly going around sowing seeds. Sowing seeds. They're in disguise, but they have power. And God's seeds are seeds that will never perish. When you sow a seed on behalf of God, that seed won't rot and die. It will continue to work, continue to grow. Isn't that neat? It's imperishable. Indestructible is another word that I love. Indestructible. The life that's within us, the power of the seeds of God sown on our life. I'm just going to talk about one little story in the Bible where prophetic ministry was used in a powerful way. I'll give you just a little bit of the background. The children of Israel had been in captivity. Jeremiah, God told him, I don't know if he told how many other people he told, but he told Jeremiah, you're going to go into captivity 70 years. Jeremiah was faithful to tell Israel when they didn't want to hear it, no, God's going to take us into captivity 70 years. Okay, Daniel came along. He remembered what Jeremiah said. He was waiting. He was watching. He was praying. And then along comes a king and says, all of you Israelites, you're free. You can go back to your homeland. Anybody that wants to. God's told me, send the people back. God told him. Can you believe that? Not even through a prophet. He just put it in his heart. When the time was up, God was faithful. So they went back. Zerubbabel was one of the men that God had, if you want to use the word, anointed to lead them, give him strategy to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, which included building an altar, building the temple, and ultimately building walls around the city. So, the Israelites march back, and they begin to build. And of course, right off the bat, they had opposition. But they went ahead and laid the foundation. They went ahead and did a lot of building until finally the opposition got so strong, they decided, wait a minute. We're going to, basically, these guys are getting serious. This was a wicked city. We're going to tell the king way back in, I don't know if it was Persia at that time, what they're doing, and we're going to tell him, make him stop. So basically, that's what their enemies did. So they literally came out with force and made them stop working on the temple. Well, they stopped, the work ceased for 16 years. 16 years, the people sat there and maybe looked, were discouraged, or despondent. Okay, so after 16 years, I'm going to read from the book of Ezra, chapter 5. It says, now the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the sons of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Now, it doesn't really say what they prophesied. It doesn't say that they said, the word of the Lord is, now's the time you got to go build that. It just said they started prophesying to the people there in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. They started encouraging them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtai, and Jeshua, the son of Jehozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God that was in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them. So just a couple little quick notes. Okay, the same guy that was called to do it and lead the people out there, somewhere in his being, he found the grace to rise up again and begin to build through the prophesying of those guys. So something about their prophecy spoke to who they were. They knew deep in their heart who they were and what they were called to do. But they just didn't have the maybe agreement, whatever it was, the strength to keep it going. But those prophetic words came, boom, hit their calling, and they rose up and began to do the work. Now, here's what happened. As you can imagine, their enemies came over again, got all excited, and they said, hey, who called you to do this work? And the guys said, a long time ago, there was a king who told us to come here and to build this temple and to restore this city. And so the enemies sent word back and said, is this true? So this time, it was a new king, by the way. This king, he handled it a little bit different than the other king. He went and looked in the archives. Sure enough, there was a king who had given the decree to rebuild the city. So his perception of the city was different. His perception of the city was, it was decreed by God. Cyrus even said, God, the maker of heaven and earth, told me to do this. So guess what that king did? He said, look, they're supposed to be building this city, and if you cause them any trouble, they're going to hang you on a post from your house and tar and feather you, basically, in so many words. Not a pleasant scene. And then he went on a little further and said, okay, not only are they supposed to build the city, they're supposed to get paid to do it from the taxes in the land. So through the prophesying of these guys, the city was rebuilt. It was just an awesome, awesome demonstration of what prophetic ministry can do. Now I'll read a little bit more of the kind of the closing of the story from chapter 6. And the elders and the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They finished their building by decree of the God of Israel and by the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So they were able, because these guys rose up and prophesied, they were able to complete the work. And so that's one of the reasons why we're excited about prophetic ministry here. Because there's something about when the Spirit of the Lord connects with you and your calling, your purpose, and your destiny, you'll rise up and you'll finish the work that God has designed you to do. All right, let's just pray for a minute. Lord Jesus, thank you for living in us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that stirs us up. Give us greater hunger, God, to press in, to learn to listen, to be familiar with, to flow in the Holy Spirit speaking through us and to us. Father, tonight as we prophesy, touch our hearts, speak to our callings, our purpose, bring revelation, illuminate us, illuminate our lives. Lord, tonight may it be like we're in a airport and we step onto this elevator that's moving and suddenly we're going to advance because your Spirit is carrying us along. We're going to pick up speed. We're going to move quickly towards our purpose and our call. Because your Spirit's carrying us. Because your prophetic word is charging us. Lord, I just bless this people. Encourage us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this time we're going to have an interview with Mike Wagaman. Everybody say, hi, Mike.
Hi.
Kind of a testimony through interview process. So how has the Lord been highlighting the prophetic in your life, Mike?
Well, I tell you.
A little further up the microphone.
Can you hear me? Okay. You know, growing up, I grew up in church. But, there was something missing. You know, we were always taught, this is the word of God, and this is everything you need to know is right here. It's very true, but the word of God, the Bible is. I'm getting some feedback here. The Bible is the Bible. The Bible is prophecy. It started out as prophetic words written down. God spoke through men, and they wrote the Bible. And, those words are good. You know, that's the instructions you have for life. But sometimes each of us need a specific word for our situation. You know, if you're confused about a job.
Hold it right there. You're going to keep it perfect.
This is better? Okay.
That's perfect.
That's better. Okay. I'll get it right. Like, for example, if you have a family problem or you need to make a decision about work or something of that matter, you're probably not going to find it in Matthew somewhere. It says, thus saith the Lord, you're going to work at, wherever, Sometimes you need the Lord to speak to you for that situation. And prophecy has been, it's a piece that was missing. Let me put it that way. You know, growing up and everything, that's great, but it's so exciting when someone comes to you and says, hey, I know exactly, this is what God's telling me about you. This is where you are right now. And you go, and the witness, oh, yes, that's exactly where I'm at right now. You know, prophecy is it's like, I can eat my dinner with a spoon. But sometimes it's good to have a fork and a knife and maybe some napkins, a salt shaker. It's all part, is very important. And I appreciate that this ministry emphasizes prophecy.
So how's the Lord used the prophetic to guide you personally?
Well, I've got a lot of different stories over the last 4 years about how a specific prophetic word has brought me through. It was like a bridge that took me from one place to another. You know, there was one, not going to go into a lot of detail, but I was kind of in a rut in my life. You know, I'm in a, was in a certain place, wasn't, I was, you know, it's like, Lord, well, what's next? What's going on? You know, I need the next. And one night I came here and one of the women said, oh, P.S. She's giving me a prophetic word. P.S. You're going to take a trip. And you're going to say no in the natural, but God wants you to go on a trip. And there's some ministry that you're going to be doing. I said, oh, cool. Okay. So maybe a week or two later, I get a call from, and I had an ex-wife. We got separated. She moved to Mexico. And the trip was all about going down there to reconcile, to own up to what my fault of the failure was. Sometimes it's hard to do. It's very easy to go, well, you know, you see what they did. But sometimes,
that was the ministry that the Lord had for you.
That was the ministry. And in the natural, I was like, oh, no. No way. No, I'm not going. And it wasn't flying in a nice plane. It was driving all the way to Mexico. Would you like to try that sometime? No, it's not like how it used to be.
But through that, you reconciled with your son, and the Lord has done so many things from that time on. There's been a lot of reconciliation in your life.
There's been a lot of reconciliation, and that was the very key moment that moved me from my rut into where God wanted me to go next. But it was a prophetic word that bore witness in my spirit that says, yep. And plus, the fact that I would say no in the natural, it's like, okay, this is definitely from God because I don't want to go.
But, that was part of the clause,
right? It was part of the clause.
So what has most surprised you about prophetic ministry?
How God can read your mail. You know, it took me a long time to come in here. 4 years ago, you know, my friend Adam's like, oh, you got to, you know, prophetic words. Hey, you know, you got to check this out. I'm like, well, you know, there's a lot of things going on nowadays that are just kind of weird, and I'm just not really sure. And took 3 or 4 or 5 invites to come. And I will never forget the first time I sat down, and it's actually Roy who gave the word. He read my mail and told me everything about me and where I was. He even said, do you have 2 sons? It's like, yes, I got 2 sons. How'd you know that? You know? And that's when I realized that, you know, hey, this is God trying to speak to me.
So what would you say to someone now that might be unsure about prophetic ministry? So what would you say to them now?
Well, you know, it's God still speaks. And he speaks through the word. That's good. And he does speak through pastors. Absolutely. Absolutely he does. But prophecy is very important. And sometimes we need an encouragement, or we need, you know, I tell you what, in the last 4 years, different people have spoke prophetic words over me. But I was able to establish my identity in Christ because of the things that were said over the last 4 years. And you'll know it's from God when it bears witness, when you can say, there's no way he could have known that. There's no way he could have known that. That's Amen. Spot on.
Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for Mike, Lord. Thank you for his journey that he's been on, Lord. Father, from a skeptic to someone who stands on your word, that you have given him a roadmap through the prophetic ministry of his ministry and reconciliation and all the things, jobs, and all the things that you've done in his life, Lord. Father, over the last 4 years, and we celebrate the spoken word into his life, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, why don't we have the team come on up? Thank you. So the team is going to minister to you, and this is also getting recorded, so they might only recognize you by color of your shirt or something, but they'll ask you your first and last name, and we'll be able to say it on the mic, so that way if you want a copy of this, you can put a request in the CD thing that's out there, in the CD request thing that's out in the lobby. You'll be able to put that in there so you can hear it again. So Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the prophetic, Lord. Father, we ask that that you would just guide and lead and direct us. We say yes, Lord, to what it is that you're doing. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're saying in this hour to your people, Lord. Thank you for encouraging your people in this hour, Lord. We give you thanks for it, Lord.
The lady with a hat on, star, what's your name? Colette. What's your last name? Me? Colette Me. I just hear the Lord saying that you're a mighty warrior in the kingdom of heaven. You've faced many battles in your past. And even this week, there's been some really tough situations you've been in. There's been distractions, and the enemy's really tried to cut your legs off, as it were, to chop you down and make you low. And the Lord just wants to really encourage you that what he started, he will finish. And I just saw you trying to redo things, restart things. It's like you have this plan and these visions and these desires, and you go out in front of everybody else and start something. You start going and going, and suddenly somebody cuts it out from underneath you again. And it's been a cycle. And the Lord just says, I release you from that cycle. Move forward.
Amen. Woo.
All righty. The gentleman back here in the vest. What's your name, sir? Ed Schwartz, and is that your wife with you there? What's her? Sharon. Okay. Well, Ed, you know, I saw the word nomad over you, and I just sense there's just this real desire to travel and to go and to. It's almost like you've had roots down and you've pulled roots up and. But I see you going to different places and putting your roots down for a little while, and going to another place and putting your roots down for a little while. And I also sense there's been a lot of times where you were next in line for something, and like somebody, you were just getting ready to step up to take what was yours, what you thought was rightfully yours, and somebody stepped right in front of you and took that. And I just hear the Lord saying that he's accelerating some things in your life right now, and I just really sense that there's just a... you're in a real season of opportunity. And I hear the God say to don't take things just at face value, but to flip them over, you know, look at it, inspect it, and really dig into it to see what it is. But I just really sense that God is loosening some ties for you, and I just really sense there's just an opportunity for you to go and do some things to fulfill the desire. I hear God saying, son and daughter, I want to fulfill the desires of your heart like never before.
Okay, 1, 2, about the fourth row back. The gentleman, you got a silver thing around your neck. Yeah, you, sir, what's your name? Adam Hubbard. Okay, Adam. Adam, when I look at you, I see someone that's, you're kind of, you got a lot going on, a lot of activity. And I feel like that God's made you to be a noisemaker,
to be not to be silent, to maybe challenge the status quo, to break through, to be expressive. I feel like he's just put some real, he's put dynamite in your spirit and in your inside. And I just want to bless that. I feel like that you're going to get wisdom by stepping in. You're going to get wisdom by trial and error. You're going to get wisdom. You're a man of action. And I just see the Lord in your action. And as you step out and take action, you're going to gain wisdom. That's how God's going to really add to your life. So don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to make noise. Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. Because I feel like that God's put something inside you that's just not satisfied with status quo. Dream big.
It's for the lady back with the coat around you, the leopard scarf on head. What's your name? Huh? Lorena. Good. I felt the Lord really. I just felt the impression. I seen it was like a busy street you were on, and I feel the Lord says there's a lot of things that are chaotic around you. But I feel like God says, even in the midst of the busyness, that He has the peace and the calmness to calm any storm. And I feel like the Lord wants to partner with you and settle some storms. And I feel like God is really calling you to a place of just of wholeheartedness, abandonment to Him. And I feel the Lord is really moving in this season on you to He's stirring your heart. And some things, I just see it, some things aren't like we want to let go of it, but God's saying, just let go of the reins. Let the horse do the riding. Let His horse ride for you. And it's kind of like I see in a war horse, they don't really have to ride the horse. The horse knows what's happening out there, and the Lord wants to be that horse under you. So I just see the Lord just really blessing you in this time, in a time of season of equipping and training you in His way.
Gentleman right here in the plaid, second row. What's your name, sir? Rob. I got this scripture earlier in the night. I believe it's for you. It's from 1 Peter 1:3-7, and it says that God has given new birth into a living hope, and I just declare living hope over you. It says, for a little while you have suffered grief of all kinds. And I just feel like you have a lot of things that you have possibly gone through in your life. Maybe even some personal grief, something that was felt like a major loss in your life. And that these have come so that your faith may be proved genuine, is what the scripture says. And so I would just pray over you that any burdens or hurts that you might be carrying because of what life has dealt you, that those will be used as tools to allow your faith to become genuine, because the Lord looks at you as a leader. I think that you're a person who speaks and people listen. And as soon as you believe that in yourself, your destiny will start to unfold.
Gentleman in a light blue shirt, like Robin blue shirt. Yeah. Back farther. Yes. What's your name? Jim? Jim, and is that your wife? Jim and Crystal. I just sense that I feel like the enemy tried to pull the rug out from underneath you, but Jim, I saw you stomp on the rug, and you said, no, it's not happening. And I just saw that you were just standing your ground, standing your position. I just really feel like you two have been steady through a lot of things that have been thrown at you. Winds of adversity, winds of change have come at you. And I just feel like the Lord is really proud of the way that you've stood the test of time. And I feel like the Lord is saying, you're signed up. Welcome to the school of joy.
I feel like the Lord is bringing you into a place of understanding a greater level of His joy. The joy of the Lord is His strength. It's like you're signed up and you're on the computer. You're like signing up, giving my classes for joy. So I feel like the Lord is just really bringing you into a place of understanding joy in the levels that you've not understood before. But He is very proud of the way that you have stood in the winds of adversity. Amen.
Okay, the gentleman back there, it looks like you have a camo shirt on. You're sitting about next to the back row. What's your name? Jim? Okay. I just feel like that there's just, I'm going to just call it gold in your inner being. I feel like there's just a real preciousness in your inner being. Some real unique insights and perspective. And I feel like the Lord has you on a track to teach some things that are needed in the hour. Like He's preparing you that when the hour comes, the things He's put in you, you'll be prepared to teach those things to believers. I feel like that you're just real steady on the inside. Steady on the inside. Sometimes things might look shaky around you, but you've got a real steady core. And the Lord's preparing you. So listen and just believe the Lord for just the grace to flow out of you. I just feel like it's going to be when the timing is right, the Lord says, I'm going to draw on the gold within you. And I love that gold. I'm meticulous about my preparation.
Gary, what's your last name, Gary? Huh? Hawk. Gary Hawk. You are a hawk. Gary, I just felt like the Lord says, you are a servant beyond servants, and you do have a message for the body. And I feel like underneath everything, God says, you're just a humble man, and you carry out my plan. And I just see what the Lord's done with you over the time. And God, it's kind of like you have true joy, Gary. Every time you greet somebody, it's there. It's not counterfeit. The Lord's giving you. There's not a bad day for Gary. That's the way I feel. And I just feel like God has really blessed you in that. And I just want to say that the Lord sees what you're doing, and you are changing lives by your walk, Gary. It's spreading out to other people, and I want to commend that for you. In your heart of worship, I see the Lord say, it's over the top. You are one of my best.
Gentleman towards the back in the middle with the gray sweatshirt on, over the plaid shirt. Yes, you looking down. Next to the lady in the lavender, Mark. No? Yes, you turning around. Yes. Yes! Amen. God must have a really awesome word for you. What's your name, sir? Mark, what's your last name? Mahoney. Okay. I heard the Lord say light as a feather, and this is a season that is going to be light as a feather for you. I feel like you have a burden, something that you've been contending for, something that you've really been seeking and asking and knocking for, and God's going to reveal Himself to you in that way. And He says to go right. So pray about that.
The lady over here in the orange shirt, what's your name? That's you. Yes. What's your name? Milka. I just sense that you're really a worshiper before the Lord, and that I sense that you dance before Him, and I just sense that the Lord really loves the way that you worship. And I feel that you feel at times it's just private and it doesn't make a difference. The way that you worship the Lord doesn't make a difference, but I feel like the Lord is saying that it makes a difference. That you change the spiritual atmosphere in your neighborhood and in your city. When you worship, you change things. So know that when you worship and you dance before Him, that the spiritual atmosphere changes. It's not just something that you're doing that you think that you're not affecting anything. The Lord is watching you change the spiritual atmosphere because of the way you worship Him. Amen? Amen.
Okay. Last one. Okay, I'll keep it quick. Alrighty, the gentleman with the glasses and the gray coat with the red stripe on it, that's you right there. What's your name, sir? Rick Dantzler? Gangstetter. Okay, Rick Gangstetter. Well, Rick, you know, I heard it's like I saw you saying, Lord, did you forget me? Lord, did you pass me by? It's my turn, God. And I just see it's like you've seen all these amazing things happen, and you're waiting for it to happen to you. And I hear God saying, son, you are the apple of my eye. I did not take my eye off of you. And I hear God saying, son, know this. Know that I desire to be the fisherman, to be the one that cleans you. I almost saw it's like you're trying to wash your hands, and you're trying to wash something off, and it just wouldn't come off. And it was frustrating, and I see there's been frustration that you've gone through, and just some things that you thought would work out different, but they didn't. But I hear God saying, know this, son, I have a plan for you, okay? That I have a way for you, and I just hear God saying that they're going to welcome you with open arms, is what I hear God saying. So, amen.
Okay, when I walked in here this evening, I saw different faces, and I can't point individuals out. I just feel like everyone who's come hungry and thirsting for more, and I just ask the Lord to release that which is for each one of you individually, even as this word goes forth, that you know that God has called you and He has chosen you for such a time as this. There are those of you who are weary here tonight, very weary and about to give up, but the Lord says, press on, press in, and arise into the call that God has given unto you. For you are His anointed one. You have been anointed for this hour, for this time, and you feel weak. Yes, you feel weak, but God is strong within you. He is mighty within you to save, to deliver to the uttermost. There are those of you that have been called to go out into the kingdom, to go out into the nations. You're going back. Some of you are going back to cities that are destitute and dying of hunger, dying of thirst. They don't know what they're hungry for. They need Jesus. The spot that was in them is growing. It's growing bigger. And God has called you to speak to them. He's called you to minister to those who are destitute. He's called you to minister to those who are dying. He's called you to minister to those who think they're rich and need nothing in this world, but they need God. They're dying without Him. And you've been called and chosen. And so I call you to arise, 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 O mighty ones. Arise and take the land. Arise and take your spot in the kingdom, because the kingdom is not whole without you.
Amen. At this time, with the rest of our time, the team's going to be down in front here with a voice recorder. It's a time for you to come up to one of the persons, one of the team members. We have voice recorders, and it's for our records. So if you have your own recording device or a smartphone, you can come up, or even if you don't have one, and come on up. So we're just going to be positioned down up here, and you can come on up in 2 to 3 minute words. And if you don't want to stick around for that, for the rest of you can be dismissed. So Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you that you speak, God, and things change when you speak. And we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that goes forth tonight. Lord, even in this time, Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of this time as we prophesy for 2 to 3 minutes on those that are coming now. So, Lord, we give you thanks for this night, Lord. We thank you for each and every one that has come, Lord. We ask your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, okay, come on up.